Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. I used this in a Bible study that I did, but I want to do this a little differently today. Beginning with verse 12 down to verse 15. Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as Yahweh your Elohim commanded you. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of Yahweh your Elohim. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your manservant or your maidservant, your ox or your ass, or any of your cattle, or your stranger that is within your gates, that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as you. And you shall remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh your Elohim brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yahweh your Elohim commanded you to keep the day, to keep the Sabbath day. And as we all know, today is the weekly Sabbath, the day that's spoken of here in Deuteronomy 5. Historically, this can be proven. The Jews have never stopped keeping it, so I'm not going down that path, but there is a sufficient wealth of information to prove that this day is in fact the same Sabbath that's spoken of back here in Deuteronomy 5 and even earlier. But what I would like to discuss today is the reason that we hallow the day, the reason that we sanctify the day, and how we actually do this, to cover the things that we do or don't do on the Sabbath. And the title of this is simply, Worshiping Yahweh on His Sabbath. Worshiping Yahweh on His Sabbath. Well, there are three basic things that are included in the worship of Yahweh. The three are deal with keeping the day holy. They deal with worship, the concept of worship, and the concept of rest. Now, I kind of mixed them up from the order I'm going to cover them in, but the first one I want to cover is the concept of rest. The need to rest on this day goes all the way back to when Yahweh first established this day. And we'll turn back to Genesis, chapter 2. And we'll begin with verse 1, Genesis 2, 1. And the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, Yahweh finished his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because that in it he rested from all his work, which Elohim had created and made. So the first thing we're going to cover is rest. And the concept of rest means, it's really interesting when you think about the term rest in Hebrew, because the word Sabbath has its root in the word rest. They're related. So you cannot keep the Sabbath without resting. The person who doesn't take time out of their weekly schedule and actually rest on this day as Yahweh has commanded cannot keep the Sabbath. Now you can, I won't go through the words. The words are Shabbat and 7676 and 7673. The point I want everyone to remember is the word for Sabbath comes from the word for rest. So you can't keep the Sabbath without resting. The other thing that comes along with this rest is brought out for us over in Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31, beginning with verse 16. There's a reason that we rest. In Exodus 31, 16, it says, Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. You see, rest allows our body to be rejuvenated. So we keep the Sabbath day so that we can have physical strength, so that our bodies can be refreshed, so that they can regain the energy that's lost by going through 6 days of toil and labor. And I don't know about you, but I can remember a time when I didn't keep the Sabbath. I didn't notice it then, but the very first Sabbath that I caught, I determined I was never going to not go back to that other schedule. I mean, it is so regenerating and rejuvenating to take that time off from all of the things that happen out there with us. For the kids that are in school, you think about all the schoolwork and everything you have to do in studies and preparations. For us who labor, we think about all of the stresses that are placed upon us in dealing with our jobs or business contacts or whatever. You can place all of those aside and not worry about them and focus upon one thing. But more importantly, just allow your body and your mind, remember your mind, to rest as well. The second thing that is required on the Sabbath or that's associated with the Sabbath is a concept of work, not working. If you turn over to Leviticus 23, beginning with verse 1, Leviticus 23, 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the set feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my set feasts. 6 days shall work be done. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no manner of work. It is a Sabbath to Yahweh in all your dwellings. The word work means deputyship. You know what a deputy is? A sheriff has a deputy. He has someone who assists him. The deputy is the one who usually goes around and does all the little things while the sheriff is sitting in the office making sure everything is well taken care of. Everything is going in the right direction. Well, think of your own life as being a deputy. You're the one that's dispatched to do things. Those are the kinds of things, those work-related things, are the kinds of things that we don't do on the Sabbath. That really puts a broad spectrum of things before us that we should avoid when you think of it in those terms. It would be like the sheriff coming to you, any of you on this day, and saying, I need you to do something, and you say, I can't. Today's a Sabbath. And that's the way we want to mentally think of this. It means also employment, work, business, or occupation. Anything that you do where you earn money, anything that you do where it would be considered a labor, a chore, those things you don't do on this day. Now, this is important. We've had many conversations, and I think between now and Tabernacles, we're going to have many more, about the kids, because one of the things that was severely lacking before was there weren't enough things specifically directed from a worship standpoint towards the kids. What we're going to try to do is to have the sermonettes, I may have mentioned this before, but the sermonettes specifically geared towards basic subjects and topics, and maybe even gear them more directly towards the children. At the same time, we can all gain from that. We all gain from reviewing. We all gain from maybe picking up tidbits of information that we hadn't considered. But one of the things that all of the kids should understand is these things are things that Yahweh has a reason for us not to do. He doesn't want us to work. He does want us to rest. So you want to make sure that you take the time to get enough rest on the Sabbath. And most of you do. Most of you like to sleep late. I mean, I've noticed that in my home. Everybody likes to sleep late on the Sabbath. If we started services at 3 in the afternoon, I still think some of us would still be sleeping. That's another story altogether. The point is that it is a day of rest and a day where we are not allow ourselves to be dispatched, to be used as a deputy, to be used in business, in an occupation, in any work, or anything else that would be related in that manner. And again, that's what this word work here in Leviticus 23 relates to. You can also notice this third area about keeping the day holy brought up, as it says, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. The word convocation is mikra, M-I-Q-R-A is how you would transliterate it into English, how you would write it. M-I-Q-R-A. It's number 4744. It means something called out, and that is it's a public meeting. You can think of any public meeting you might go to. A meeting that discusses something that relates to your town, the township supervisors' meetings, or in Lebanon, if the mayor called a meeting and invited everyone to come in and make comments about some proposal that he has. That's a public meeting. What makes this meeting different is it says holy before it, a holy meeting, a sacred meeting. This day is a day where we absolutely have to get together and offer worship. Look over in Hebrews chapter 10. This thought is brought out for us there.
Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near. This is one of those times where we're commanded to assemble together. And some people want to say, I can keep the Sabbath at home alone. And it's not something you can do. I mean, if there's circumstances that allow or prevent you, one, from going to be with other people, that's one thing. But there should not be a prevailing thought in the mind that you can keep it at home. We should, as much as we possibly can, gather, assemble with others of like precious faith. Note that it says ourselves together. It's speaking of a group that already exists that takes the time to get together for purposes. In this case, that purpose is the worship of Almighty Yahweh. Look in Psalm 122. Psalm 122, verse 1 says, and this speaks of the gathering of Yahweh's people. He says, David writes, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of Yahweh. You know, there should be a sense of joy when we get together on these days, on the Sabbath. We should look forward to it. I'll deal with that a little more in just a moment. But it should be, there should be gladness in our heart, even as the song we sang earlier speaks to. Whenever we gather together to offer worship to Almighty Yahweh. Look over in Psalm 27. There are several verses I could have used, but I'm just going to use these two. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I asked of Yahweh, that will I seek after. So David, again, is the author, and he's saying there's only one thing that I request of Almighty Yahweh. Only one thing. And I'm going to seek after that. I'm going to quest for that. That I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life. To be in Yahweh's house, to be with Yahweh's people, offering worship and praise to him. And the second, these last two lines, for me, I can remember even at a young age, you know, just thinking along these lines, to behold the beauty of Yahweh. I mean, I have no idea of what Yahweh actually looks like. I mean, we have little concepts and whatnot, but we have no idea. Wouldn't it be great to think that at some point we actually would be able to see him, to know what he looks like, to look at him, perhaps even to touch him, to shake his hand, to embrace him, to kiss him on the cheek? I mean, this is what gives us encouragement. And when we come to services, those kinds of thoughts should run through our mind, and we'll get a glimpse of what Yahweh is all about, what he looks like. We do glimpse into his character every time we get together, and to inquire in his temple. And I can tell you that one of the reasons why I left Christianity many years ago was because you couldn't get answers to questions. You would go to ask someone a question, and if they had an answer, fine. But more times than not, you would hear, we don't really need to know that. Yahweh doesn't intend for you to understand that. The Spirit will lead you to an answer. You got all kinds of answers. And even now, there are things that we don't really have the answer to. Bob and I were talking just the other night on the phone about something, and you can't conclusively say, well, it really means this. You can't do that with everything. And yet in the kingdom, yet when we're with Yahweh, you will. You'll be able to ask him anything you want an answer to and get an answer. To inquire in his temple. The Sabbath day is a reflection of that. Just one last thing I want to speak about with regards to the Sabbath. And it's over in Isaiah 58. Because again, the whole point of this is worshiping Yahweh on his Sabbath. Doing it in a way that's acceptable to him. Understanding what we should or shouldn't do or can't do. In Isaiah 58 verses 13 and 14. It says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. Let's stop there. The word pleasure means inclinations. Now, an inclination is something that you're most likely to do. You know, in sports, they'll talk about how a person, a baseball player, a pitcher may be giving away his pitches, because just as he gets ready to throw a curveball, he tends to flinch his shoulder. That's an inclination. Or a person may have an inclination to, before going to the store, always putting the keys in a certain way. You know, grabbing the keys a certain way if he's going to the store, because the keys go with the money in his wallet or something. I mean, inclinations, we all have them. That's what this word speaks of. If you turn away your pleasure from doing your pleasure, your inclinations, those things that you're most likely to do. Now, as children, as adults, we all have inclinations, and children have inclinations too. What are you inclined to do? Come home from school and turn on the TV. Come home from school and play a video game. Come home from school and play some kind of sport or athletic activity. Those are inclinations. Those are the kinds of things that we put aside on the Sabbath. We all have them. Hang out at a store, hang out at the mall, hang out with our friends. Those are the things that we put away on this day. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, a day that we have joy and pleasure in, a day that we have great feelings for. Now, you know, I just want to consider something called visualization. We all do it all the time. We see a person, and we make our mind up about what they're like from the first time we see them. We later can be proven right or wrong about what we thought. But you see a person walking down the street, the person that we normally think of as a bum, they're dressed scrubbily and they're unshaven. And when I say unshaven, I mean unshaven. You know the difference. And they have on horrible clothes, and they're pulling something behind them. We just think, the man just doesn't have any money, and he's in this case and that case. And there are literally hundreds of these people out there who are very wealthy people. I mean, it's been proven over the years. For whatever reason, I can't say I can figure that out, but for whatever reason, they choose to live and be that way. Okay? We visualize people and we come up with concepts. We do it all the time. When it comes time to come to services, what kinds of thoughts go through your mind? Do you look forward to coming because you look forward to the great food that we have? I mean, I know I do. You look forward to that. Do you look forward to seeing the other people that are here and talking to them and spending time with them? We should. Or do you say, oh no, here comes the Sabbath again. We got to sit and listen to preaching for an hour or two. Or we have to sit and we can't move around. We've got to dress up. Are those the kinds of thoughts? Because if you start out with those thoughts, I guarantee you every Sabbath is going to be bad for you. Every single one. You can change the thoughts. You know, they say habits can be changed in 18 days. They say about 3 weeks, but what I've heard is 18 days. If you tell yourself the same thing for 18 days, over and over and over again, whatever it is, you'll believe it. You can make yourself into the best bank robber in the world, or you can make yourself into the best cop in the world. And that's just what people do. And the whole point of this relates to the Sabbath. You can view coming here negatively, or you can view coming here positively. And it should be a positive thing. So when you're sitting there and you're thinking about somebody preaching, don't think about how long it is. Try to think about what it is I can gain from it. Before you come, look for, as I used to say, the pearls of wisdom, because they're there. Some tidbit of information that Yahweh has for you individually, for each one of you. And it's different for all of us. I guarantee you when Elder World comes up for the sermon later, there's going to be something in there that every single one of us will be able to benefit from. But it won't necessarily be the same thing. And if you're not taking the time to listen for it, you'll miss it. So don't miss it. Listen. Pay attention and try to understand it. Let me finish the passage. If you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy of Yahweh honorable and shall honor it, not doing your own ways, that goes back to doing your pleasure, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then shall you delight yourself in Yahweh. And I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it." This day is a day that we're supposed to enjoy, a day that we look forward to. And I hope from this time forward we can view it that way, all collectively, from the youngest one in the room to the eldest, whoever they may be. May Yahweh bless us as we strive to keep him, keep his day holy, and to worship him in a way that's acceptable in his sight.